Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. Appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Davao.
Ooh, that would be a little weird, but that's...
Not Davao. Davao.
Davao.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
There you go. Wherever you are in our great
Suave.
State.
Suave. Davao.
Little Rico Suave. I like that.
Yes.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away. It's at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. Super Bowl Sunday's coming up. Nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. For appetizers, for the main course, whatever it is you're doing, you want beef to be a part of your Super Bowl party. And everybody who shows up will be a happy camper as a result of it. Chiefs or Eagles, who cares? What's on the menu for your Super Bowl party? I hope it's beef. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. There's going to be some beef on my Super Bowl menu. I'm going to do some little mini Philly. I think I'm going to do some Philly cheesesteak sliders.
And you also said yesterday you're going to do some buffalo chicken taquitos.
Taquitos. Yes, I'm very excited about my you know, for especially it's only for like three people, so I'm going to get to eat a lot. I'm excited.
Last year, Becky and I attempted the Philly spring rolls.
Yeah.
And they were delicious.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Philly cheesesteak. And same with the buffalo chicken dip, right? In my opinion, when you make a little twist to it, right? Like buffalo chicken dip, you put it in the bowl, you get the chips, it's delicious, right? But when you're talking about like you're gonna make it handheld, that's up in the game a little bit. You know, anybody can make a Philly cheesesteak, you know, just put it on the hoagie. But when you make a slider or an egg roll or a taco or something, it's just better. It's just better.
Yeah, in my opinion. Right. Everything's better with beef.
That's true, too. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. It's the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. The sale is starting today, Thursday, up to 50% off on items throughout the stores. That's online, that's on and in store. Big, big sale. Everything you're looking for, maroon and white. So if you need a last-minute Valentine's gift, if you just want to get yourself a new hat, a new shirt, a new pullover, whatever it is, they've got it at College Corner. So check them out. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, for dinner, for Sunday brunch, the best meal in town, always at Restaurant Tyler. Guys, if you're heading out for Valentine's this weekend or next weekend, Restaurant Tyler is definitely the place. Yeah, we're not complaining because we're just used to it at this point, right? Boy, they still haven't released the times for first pitch. But you and I both know, Robbie, that's going to be like a 2 o'clock first pitch. It always is.
Yeah.
And so that means you got time after the game to head to Restaurant Tyler. So you can get a great Valentine's Day. You can get baseball and a great dinner in. What more can you ask for? If you want to have the best meal in town, it's really easy to do. You just got to go to Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. They'll show you not only where they're located, but they're going to show you how they're going to help you invest, manage your money, prepare for the future. When you have questions about your money right now, you can't afford to wait around. You deserve to get answers on your schedule. That's why you need the level of service that's provided at Priority One Bank. They know how to take care of their customers. They know how to take care of their Mississippi friends. 16 locations means... If you live in Central Mississippi, you live near a Priority One location. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Speaking of baseball, Robbie Falk, it's about that time. We are, as we are recording, 9 days from the start of the 2025 season for the Diamond Dogs. I feel like excitement is there, But basketball being back in the way that it has been, even though I know the Dogs are going through a little bit of a lull right this second, it's not like it was, you know, a few years ago when basketball wasn't great. Baseball was kind of, you know, what you started looking forward to like the end of December a little bit. This year, though, I think after last year's run into the postseason, I think that there is some real excitement about this team. But there's a lot of questions about this team. And we got the SEC released today, the All-SEC team preseason and the preseason predicted order of finish. They predicted to finish ninth. Ninth in the SEC in baseball probably means you're a two seed in somebody else's regional. State would like to get up in that top six, top seven range. That's where the hosting opportunities are. So that's our big question today, Robbie Faulk. And I guess we're going to welcome them back right now. Our friends at Pip Printing. Pip Printing and Signs. They are back with us with the sign, and that's what we're going to talk about today. What is the sign that you have that Mississippi State baseball can overachieve, can do better? Pip Printing and Signs, when you need printing, you know, we've talked about them for months, for almost a year. Pip Printing and Signs has a plan for your business, and they can get people in the door like no other. When you are talking about a successful business, you're talking about somebody who has a great printing program in place. That's money that you need to spend wisely. That's why you're going to spend it with our friend Cam Baker. See if I remember it because it's been a few weeks. 601-499-5216. Call Cam Baker today. Tell him you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning. Tell him you're a Mississippi State fan so that 10% of your sale can go directly to the Bulldog Initiative. When you need printing, call Pip today. What's the sign, Robbie Faulk? Why do you think this baseball team is going to be better than ninth in the SEC?
I just feel like there's more depth within the lineup, especially, but at pitching too. You know, we've talked in the offseason so far about Mississippi State being a better offense. We believe they're going to be a better offense. Last year down the stretch, I didn't think their offense was very good. Mm-hmm. You had your two best hitters, specifically your two best power hitters, and Hunter Hines and Dakota Jordan, completely holes in the lineup. You know, middle of the lineup, you weren't getting on base, much less getting a hit. And you get in the SEC tournament, neither one of those guys, they were in huge holes offensively. And you didn't really have any other options. You obviously wanted them to kind of hit out of it. But at one point, you and I were both talking about, like, you almost have to sit them at this point.
There was a serious, do you sit Dakota Jordan, Hunter Hines discussion on this.
And the problem is you had no one
and no depth
that you could put in there that you felt like could kind of keep you afloat. Mm-hmm. This year, I feel like there's a lot more players that could fit that mold. If somebody's not performing, you know, Michael O'Brien, I don't want to pick on him, but he had one hit last year, and it was a ground ball that hit Ethan Pulliam in the running lane.
Yeah.
So it was probably going to be a ground ball out anyway. He got on base. That was his only hit, I think, the whole year. So he has a lot to prove this year. If he's not able to hit, there's options there. You can take him out of center field. You could probably move Bryce Chance, I think, is probably your best option to move to center field. And then you could manipulate the roster a little bit, move some guys around that could kind of keep you in the same spot. They couldn't do that last year. You know, Aaron Downs was pretty much the only guy you could bring off the bench, and he was hurt.
Yeah.
So if they're healthy, I think that lineup's going to be much deeper. And then the pitching staff, there's so many guys. We went into last year. I remember we talked to Chris Lemonis the week of the first game. And we literally did not know what the starting rotation was going to be. He named off five or six guys that could be in the rotation. We had no clue. And that's kind of where we are with this team, too. Outside of Pico, I don't know if we know what the rotation is going to look like. I feel good about it. I feel Carson Ligon's probably going to get a weekend spot this next weekend. You know, Charlie Foster hasn't been pitching lately, so it looks like he might be kind of on the mend, maybe with a slight injury. I haven't heard anything concerning there, but who takes that third spot? We don't know. We didn't know that Nate Dome was going to be the Friday night starter starting off the season, or that Cal Steven was going to be who he was.
Right.
So we have faith in Justin Parker after what we saw. We feel like guys are going to take jumps. We feel like guys are going to fit into roles. We just don't know. So I'm placing my faith in Mississippi State's pitching staff to be competent, to be able to pitch pretty well in conference play, and I feel like the offense is going to be better. So with that said, this is a team that won 17 SEC games last year. It feels like the schedule is even more favorable this year in SEC play. I think they can be better than ninth.
Yeah. Going back to something you were talking about there, it wasn't even that, you know, when we talked about maybe they should bench Dakota, and they're like, well, who would you play? Even in games, you didn't have guys who could just take an at bat.
Yeah.
You had times where Steven Spoleta, no hits. Michael O'Brien, like you mentioned, no hits come into the plate because you just did not have any proven bats on the roster. And you seem to have gotten around that. And you have more depth this year. The schedule is the biggest thing for Mississippi State. This is another schedule that, you know, it's a little more challenging than last year in the non-conference. This tournament that you're going to, Oklahoma State is a pretty good team. Arizona has traditionally been a good team, but they've been down a little bit since Jay Johnson left. Missouri State coming to Starkville, that's usually a postseason team. But this is another non-conference schedule that, in reality, if you lose more than three games on it, you've messed up and you've hurt your hosting chances. So you get three losses there. And then, as we talked about, no Texas A&M, no Tennessee, no Arkansas, no Georgia, no Vanderbilt. I'm missing somebody that they're not playing in there that's also highly ranked. But, I mean, the schedule is as much as an SEC schedule can be favorable. I wouldn't go so far as to say easy. But as much as it can be favorable, it is for Mississippi State. This schedule is much more less difficult than it was a season ago when they won 17 games. Mm-hmm. You know, Arkansas is a team that you haven't won a series against in forever. A&M is the number one team in the country, and you're going to miss out on them this year. Tennessee is the defending national champion. It's been a long time since you've beaten them in a series. You don't have to play them this year. This is a team that on paper should be penciling itself in for close to 40 wins in the regular season, just based on the fact of their schedule. But these guys have got to find a way to play together, and you know, these guys that we're projecting and having hope for, they have to deliver. And you mentioned Parker. That guy has as much credit in the bank as anybody because he took over a disaster situation. It's one thing to be the worst team at doing something. You know, sometimes you're just last place. And it's not that you're that far off from everybody else. You just happen to be last. That was not the case Scott Foxhall's last season. State was far off. They were the worst pitching in the SEC by a large margin. Historically bad numbers. And just such a frustrating team to watch. They didn't attack the zone. They didn't pitch with any command. They walked way too many guys. Then on the back end of that, defensively, that team was terrible. State not only fixed the pitching, they fixed the defense. If they had a little bit more clutch hitting, like you said last year, that's a team that could have gone really far and been a dangerous team in a super regional and possibly in the College World Series. So you have to hope that those clutch moments, you know, they find their way to go favorable for Mississippi State. So there's a lot of projection here. We don't have a lot to build on. You know, Hunter Hines is Hunter Hines. Bryce Chance, we've seen him make big plays before. You've got a few pieces here and there that you feel like you can rely on. But this is definitely a projection that we think they can do better. But I'm going to buy into the idea that I do think they can be better than they were a season ago.
And a lot of that goes to the schedule, like we talked about. Yeah. It, you know, if we're just looking about on paper, and we know that it never works out that way. There's always somebody picked at the bottom that's going to be better than people expected. Mm-hmm. There's always people that's picked towards the top that's going to be worse. But having said that, State, I felt like, was really dealt a harsh hand preseason last year. And I thought it actually kind of evened out in the end, and the schedule was actually okay for them in SEC play. This year, it's one of the easier schedules I can remember in SEC play, especially when you consider you now have 16 teams. You have two top five teams on your schedule, and top five in the SEC, which is still, you know, both of these programs could be Omaha teams, Florida and LSU.
But one of those is LSU, who you've won the last two series against.
Yes. And then you have Texas, who's eighth. Mm-hmm. After that, Brian, you have the bottom six teams on your schedule. Kentucky, Oklahoma, Auburn, Alabama, South Carolina, Ole Miss, Missouri. And
Kentucky's ranked in some polls, but that is...
They're good. But,
and it's a home series, too. You get them at home.
Yes. You have six series against the teams picked 10 through 16. Mm-hmm. And then Texas. So you have out of the, you know, the bottom, or the, I guess from the middle to the bottom eight, you have all those teams. And then states in there at number nine, you don't have to play Vandy. You don't have to play Georgia. You don't have to play A&M, Tennessee, or Arkansas. So, and state has really struggled to beat Arkansas. They've really struggled to beat Tennessee. And, you know, Georgia's coming up. A&M's going to be the most talented team in the league. And real quick on A&M, I think they're getting a little too much benefit of the doubt here. Mm-hmm. I know they're really talented. I totally get that. But I think we're discounting the fact that they just lost an elite head coach mm-hmm. in Jim Schlossnagel, who's at Texas. I think Texas is going to be playing above their head with Jim Schlossnagel. I'm not quite ready to go all in on A&M. There's too many great coaches in this league and too many great players to just side with A&M just because they're talented. I don't know what this new coach is going to be like. He's a brand new head coach. Just automatically throwing them into the number one spot, I think, is giving them a little too much credit. That's just my opinion. I'm not as high on that team as everybody else is. Like I said, I know they're talented. They have a ton of great players. We've seen a lot of teams with great players that have been just okay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how do they deal with the day-to-day setting a lineup, getting the players ready to play, making the in-game adjustments? There's so much that goes into baseball beyond just being the most talented team. So to get that many first-place votes, they're number one in the country, I think, pretty much unanimously. I'm just not as high on A&M this season as a lot of other people are. I think people are heavily discounting the fact that Jim Schlossnagel was there and led that team to a national championship. Mm-hmm. So, still, I would
didn't
much
win a
rather
national title, but got them to the finals.
They went to the national championship.
Well, you said led them to a national championship.
To the national championship.
Okay.
Yeah, I know they didn't win. I'm just saying he led them to the national championship.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I'm just not really there, but I would rather not play them because of how talented they are. Yeah. That lineup's going to be very
difficult. Yeah, good team, yeah, one way or the other, yeah.
They're going to have the pitching, so they're still going to be really good. They're still going to be a contender. I can't discount Tennessee. Yeah, I think Arkansas's pitching staff's going to be legit. LSU, it's hard to believe them being as mundane as they were last year.
Yeah, they were not a great team last year.
So there's a lot of – This is still going to be a really talented league, but I like the way it sets up for Mississippi State schedule-wise.
If you asked me to pick, Tennessee would be my pick. I just feel like that's the best program in the country, and they have the best coach. And, you know, if Schlossnagel was back at A&M, I'd maybe buy in a little bit more. But I agree with you that, you know, it's tough for a first-year head coach. You know, I don't see, look, the talent is unquestioned, but, you know, a guy winning a national title in his first year would be really, really tough. I mean, think about Lemonis in 2019, how loaded that team was. And I'm not saying that State lost that year because of coaching mistakes that he made. They certainly didn't. They just ran into Vanderbilt and Louisville, who were great teams. But it's just tough. It's just, you know, sometimes you got to have that Omaha experience a little bit. So we'll see how that works out for A&M. But again, it's better to them for them not be on the schedule than to be on it, because like I said, this is one less really great, elite, talented team that you have to play.
I'm kind of surprised the coaches were that high on them with the coaching change.
They got 10
first place votes.
They're just looking at the lineup, I think. They're just saying, look at these guys. They've got the SEC Player of the Year, the SEC Freshman of the Year. They got a ton of gas throwers on the mound. I mean, that's just a quality team.
I keep waiting for Arkansas to just, like, kind of slip through the cracks and win a national title. It's going to be in a year where they're kind of like – it's like State in 21.
When they're preseason like, – well, I mean, the State preseason that year was in the top 10. I think there's going to be a year where Arkansas is like
– No, I mean, like, I just – I like that was a good team, but I think
wasn't
a lot
the best
of people
team.
Would have said the 2019 team is more talented than that team.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you look at that 2021 team and put them inside the top four in Mississippi State history, just top to bottom, pitching. Now, the pitching really came along, but there were question marks for that pitching staff coming into postseason.
Yeah.
Christian McLeod wasn't pitching great. Will Bednar wasn't pitching great.
Yeah.
That team just gutted it out. And, I think that's what's going to happen with Arkansas. It's going to be a year where they're still really good, but it's not one of their greatest teams. They just get hot.
It'll be one of those – because you think – what year – it was 21 when State won the national title. Arkansas was the best team in the year of the year all season long, and they lose in the Super Regionals to North Carolina State. But they're going to have a team, you're right, where maybe they don't even host. They're not even hosting the Super Regionals. You know, they were a good team, not a great team, but then they get hot at the right time. Because that's what it's about in baseball. It's about getting hot at the right time.
A lot of luck.
I thought State was that team in 19. You know, they dominated their regional. Then they took two from Stanford. They had that dramatic ninth inning with Elijah McNamee hitting the home run. And I remember when I was like, this team is winning it. And they went up to Omaha. They had that crazy game with Auburn to get into the winner's bracket. And I was like, this is the sign. These are the signs of a team. But then they ran into Vanderbilt, and then they get unlucky against Louisville, and that's the end of their season. And then, you know, the next year, it was kind of the opposite, right? State did not dominate the Super Regional. Notre Dame won a game and was in the game on game three. Then they get up to Omaha, tough game with Texas, had the crazy comeback against Virginia, and then all of a sudden it starts working in their favor, and then they win the national title. We'll see what this year's team is going to be. They're picked ninth. I think they're going to host. I'll say that. I think this is a team that should host this year. The talent is there. I feel like, I don't know if Lamona's got his mojo back or anything like that, but I think last year kind of snapped some of the bad vibes around this program and got everything back into place. With Justin Parker running the pitching staff, I just feel better about that unit. And so I think they, you know, I don't think they're going to be a national seed. They're probably something like the 12 or the 13 seed. Maybe may not host a super regional, but I think they can host a regional.
It's going to come down to these non-conference games, the midweeks. That's what Chris Lemonis was harping on all throughout his press conference the other day, is that it's those games are so much more important than people think they are. At the end of the day last year, if you look at the metrics why Mississippi State didn't get in, it's because they didn't take care of business in midweek games.
100%.
The years where they've been, outside of 2016, I would say they were just so good in SEC play, they eliminated all that.
Won 20 games, yeah.
Yeah, they were not good in non-conference that year. But 2019, they lost one non-conference game. Mm-hmm. 2021, I think they might have lost one or two.
Yeah.
They just did not lose those midweek games that took care of business. If they're winning all their midweek games – you know, maybe you slip up and lose a Southern Miss in one of those two. Yeah. I think you could live with that.
Boy.
Yeah, but these games against, like, last year losing to Central Arkansas or whoever it was, you can't let that happen.
Yeah.
You got to do what it takes to win. And so that's where their seeding is going to lie. Can they take care of business in non-conference and then win at worst 17 to 18 conference games? They're probably going to host.
These last couple of years I've said I'm going to overreact to these things, but – week one, they play Manhattan. That's the first weekend. If they don't sweep, that is an issue. Manhattan
you have
is
to sweep
going
these.
To be – you need to sweep them. That's a team that's probably going to be sub-150 at best, maybe sub-200. You lose to that team, you lose that one. Then next week you lose one to Missouri State. And then you lose, one in the Houston tournament. And next thing you know, you're looking – going into conference play with four or five losses. And that's what killed State last year.
Yeah,
that's why going into conference play, you and I were confident this team was going nowhere because they had already lost six games. And we're like, if they can't beat these teams, how are they going to beat these other teams? And they give them credit. They figured it out and got the wins in the SEC that they needed. But you're right. The fact that they didn't take care of their non-conference games is the sole and solitary reason they did not host last year. It has nothing to do with anything else. Because they won 17 games in the regular season, and then they won two in the SEC tournament. They beat Ole Miss. They beat Texas A&M. And I thought, okay, this is done now. And it just never was. And it was because of their strength, their RPI and their strength of schedule, and they didn't do a good enough job. This year, they've got – and Lamona's talked about that when we met with him the other day. He talked about how it's important to take care of your business early in those games so that when you get into conference play, everything just kind of handles itself. You know, whatever your strength of schedule is, it's going to go up once conference play starts. When you start playing these great teams week in and week out, you cannot put yourself in a position where you go into conference play and your RPI is like 75 because you've already got four losses. You just can't do it. State's got to find a way to fix that early this year. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, the place where Robbie Falk and I ate lunch yesterday. I'm already ready to go back. That's how much I enjoy a meal at Two Brothers. As soon as I walk out the door, I'm like, you know, I'm still hungry. I could go back in, you know, but I'm already thinking about the next meal there. I know, same with the older brother. We ate there a couple weeks ago. As soon as I walked out the door, I'm like, can't wait to come back. That's what you know when you have a great restaurant. As soon as you walk out the door, you're already planning your next trip. You should plan your next trip to these two places. They are two of the best places in Starkville. Next time you're here, head over to the Cotton District and grab lunch, grab dinner at Two Brothers Smoked Meats or the older brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
Fixed it, brother.
One day you're just going to really throw me off and just go 50. Just give me this. Just no sell me.
I got to keep you on your toes.
You do.
On a swivel. You never know what's coming.
You're right. I know what's coming when you need a new copier, a new printer. You're going to make a phone call to Advantage Business Systems, and then they're going to take care of you. They're going to give you a great product at a great price. But most importantly, when the things go, south, as they're going to do, it's a machine. It's going to break. Some idiot's going to spill some coffee on it, something. Service is just a phone call away, and not a phone call to a 1-800 number, not being on hold for 45 minutes, not making an appointment, somebody can be there in a week to 10 days. Mississippi people taking care of Mississippi people. They're going to fix your problem quickly, a lot of times the exact same day that you call. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to your next game in Starkville, make sure you've got a trip to Maroon & Co. planned. Anytime you're in Starkville and you need MSU gear, the place to go is Maroon & Co. They have the biggest selection. They have more than anybody else does. They have stuff you can't find anywhere else. It's only at Maroon & Co. And that's not just apparel. That's stuff for your house, your car, your tailgate, everything maroon and white. Use our promo code to save yourself some money. Thunder15, 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. For your next trip to Starkville, make sure you make a trip to Maroon & Co. We'll stay on baseball here. We talked about doing some basketball, but I don't know. Hunter Hines, the only Bulldog on the first team or on any of the preseason All-SEC teams, first and second team. That makes total sense. So there's nobody else. There literally isn't anybody else I felt like got shafted there.
Just not proven yet.
Yeah.
You know, it's not one of those things you can just be totally upset about because – you know, I'm looking at these names, and there's a lot of guys that are returners on this list.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of guys that I look at, you know, I'm just like, don't know who they are. There's some guys that they're kind of projecting. You know, Hunter Elliott, he hasn't pitched in 2 years, making second team. That's a guy that, if he's healthy, you know, but who knows? But it's not anything. One of two first basemen, that's saying a lot. The coaches think a lot of Hunter Hines. And it goes into what Chris Simona said last week. He's a guy that whenever opposing teams are looking at Mississippi State, they're always saying, you cannot let this guy beat you.
Yeah.
They are not going to throw him something across the plate that he can yank out of the yard in right field. And they'll walk him, they'll pitch him, they won't give him anything in the breadbasket. He is one of those players that you work around in your lineup when you're pitching every single week. And that says a lot about Hunter. I know people have gotten, you know, kind of frustrated with him at times during his career, but at the end of the day, this is a guy that's very likely going to be the all-time leader in Mississippi State history in home runs.
Mm-hmm.
And that is an amazing feat when you look at the players that have been through here.
Yeah.
And just not terribly far off in just a 3-year period, because you can make an argument, well, you know, he's doing it in 4 years. You know, Rafael Palmeiro and Will Clark and those guys did it basically in 3, but he's like, in the top 5 in Mississippi State history in just 3 years. So yeah. he's had a great career already. He's already been a first team All SEC guy. He's a freshman All SEC guy. I'm expecting a big year from him. I think he's going to have an improvement on what he did last year.
You know, when you think about those names, you know, Palmeiro and Clark and Castoria. Castoria was a 4-year guy. I mean, it's pretty special to be mentioned among them. It's, you know, and for Hunter Hines, there can't be many players in college baseball that have a bigger chip on their shoulder, right? You know, this time a year ago, he was like, all right, going to play this season. We're going to try to get back to the postseason, try to get into Omaha, and then I'll be off to the major league. And to go undrafted, that has to stick in his craw a little bit. And I can't imagine there's a lot of guys who are more motivated going into this season than Hunter Hines is. He has to be thinking, I'm going to show everybody that I'm the best power hitter in college baseball.
Yeah, and I'm sure it was frustrating for him because he improved so much at first base.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of the year, I mean, if you threw something over there to him, he was making a play. I think back in the Virginia game at the end of the season when he made that dive into the dugout. I mean, he was making plays that there's no way he could have made them even the year prior, much less, you know, as a freshman. So he had made such an improvement, and it was kind of overshadowed by that last month at the plate. He really struggled to see the ball. But when that guy's locked in and seeing it well, and I think what that means is he's sending it to off field. You start to see him go the other way a little more, send it to left field a little more. That's when you know he's really locked in. If he's finding the gap in left center, if he's getting a base hit into left, that's when you really know that he's locked in. And that's what Chris Lemonis really wants to see from him this year, is a little more, you know, off-field hitting instead of just locked in on that right, you know, right corner. So, you know, we'll see if he'll be able to do that. Obviously, like you mentioned, has to have that chip on his shoulder after not being drafted last year, because that's the goal of every – you know, college baseball player, is if you don't go, you know, when you're eligible, you want to go after 3 years or whatever. And he didn't get a chance to do that. So this is an opportunity for him to really finish strong at Mississippi State.
I think he's going to do it. I think he's going to have a big year. I really do. I think he'll be a 20 home run guy for Mississippi State this season. And he'll be a big part of, if this team does make a run into the postseason, he will be a big part of the why on that. All right, tomorrow's show, basketball preview, Mississippi State, Georgia. Georgia's playing basketball Wednesday night, so they'll play by the time you listen to this. They're hosting LSU. Georgia's lost 5 out of their last 6, so they really need to beat the Tigers, who are also struggling as well. They need to get that win, and that sets up a big one, big quad one opportunity for Mississippi State this Saturday when they take on the Georgia Bulldogs. We'll have that podcast for you next weekend. Guys have, or this coming weekend, I guess. Guys, have a great Super Bowl weekend. Enjoy. Oh, Super Bowl prediction before we. Well, we got one more podcast.
Yeah. Well, let me.
I got ahead of myself.
Let's stew on it.
Yeah. We'll do that. All right, guys. Talk to you tomorrow. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.